He passed away recently.
Yes. A brother battles grief and a debt.
You sold a four-wheeler, an all-terrain vehicle four-wheeler.
He agreed to sell it to my brother, not me.
When Tim died, the payment stopped.
But did a death end the deal?
Chad said that he was concerned about the payments getting made on time. I said, if something happens, I'll help him.
Let me tell you what you just did.
Judge Judy. You are about to enter the courtroom of Judge Judith Scheindlin. The people are real. The cases are real. The rulings are final. This is Judge Judy. Chad Tate is suing his former in-law, Thomas Seabolt, for the unpaid balance on a four-wheeler.
Order. All rise.
Case number 537 on the calendar, the matter of Tate versus Seabolt.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Judge. Parties have been sworn in. You may be seated. Ladies, have a seat, please.
Mr. Tate, the defendant used to be your brother-in-law.
Uncle-in-law, ma'am.
Hmm?
He was an uncle of my ex-wife.
And you had a brother?
Yes.
Your Tom?
Yes, ma'am.
Was your brother older or younger?
He was older.
How much older?
He was 4 years older.
And how old are you?
46.
He passed away recently?
Yes.
And that was sudden?
Yes, ma'am.
And it is your claim, Mr. Tate, that several years ago you sold a four-wheeler, an all-terrain vehicle four-wheeler that you had, and it was relatively new.
Yes.
To both Tim and Tom, two brothers.
Yes, ma'am.
They were making payments because you had a banknote?
Yes, ma'am.
On the ATV. According to you, the agreement was that the brothers would take over the payments. That happened for a couple of years.
Yes, ma'am.
Until Tim died. When Tim died, the payment stopped. You wanted to know why, and Tom told you that they stopped because the deal wasn't with him. It was with his brother. You could come and take the vehicle. It's not his. He never made a contract with you, and you claim that there was a contract with both of them.
Verbal, yes, ma'am.
That's what you claim. Do I have the case down? Is that pretty much what the case is about?
Yes.
Right. When did you sell either or Tim or Tom the bike?
They took possession November 12th.
What year?
2011.
And when had you purchased it?
April 18th, 2011.
And why were you selling it?
I was going through a divorce at the time. The four-wheeler, I couldn't use it. My ex-wife said that it would be best if I could get rid of it. However, she would have took it if I needed to. So the deal, Tom and Tim both knew we was going through the divorce and we had just, yes, ma'am.
So tell me about where you were and who was there when you made this agreement of sale.
The agreement was made approximately November 8th. I was at work. Tom and I both are foremen at a mine. And I worked one shift, he worked the next. And as we come in, we made an agreement about the four-wheeler.
Well, tell me what you said to him and what he said to you.
The four-wheeler would be given to them that Saturday, November 12th.
So far, you just told me that you were with Tom.
Right.
Where was
his brother?
That
was me and Tom was only two in the office.
Okay, so it was just the two of you?
Yes.
Well, how did that conversation come about? Did you speak to him or did he approach you?
I don't remember it.
Do you remember?
Yes, there was never anything that communicated for me and him to be in agreement.
Listen to me. He's telling me that on November 8th, the two of you had a conversation at work. Do you remember the conversation?
No.
Do you remember having a conversation with him?
Yes.
When and where did that conversation take place?
It happened in the office around the same time that he has spoke of.
Okay.
And my brother was there, and he had agreed to buy the four-wheeler. And Chad said that he was concerned about the payments getting made on time. So I told Chad, I said, oh, he'll make them on time. If something happens and he needs a little extra here and there or something, I'll help him.
Great. And then he said, okay. Is that what happened?
Yes.
And then he agreed to sell it to you?
He agreed to sell it to my brother, not me.
No. Let me tell you what you just did. You just became a guarantor of payment. Because according to you, and I believe everything you just said to me, you were all together, Mr. Seabolt, you, Tim, and the plaintiff. And Tim said, I want to buy it. And he said, you know, I'll sell it to you, but I'm concerned that you may not be able to make the payments. And you said, I'm sure he'll be able to make the payments, but if he can't and if he needs a little help, I'll help him. That's what you said. That is, in effect, guaranteeing in his mind, reasonable person, that if the payments were not made by your brother, you would make the payments. And I didn't even ask him. I'm taking you at your word. Now, the payments were made, and they were made directly to the bank?
Yes, ma'am.
By whom?
I'm not able to know. I have the payments here.
Well, I'd like to take a look.
Yes, ma'am. The highlighted payment. Yes, ma'am.
How many times, Mr. Seabolt, did you help your brother make payments on the four-wheeler?
Once.
When?
I'm not exactly for sure when. He was $100 short of a payment one time. I loaned him the $100 and he repaid me that.
What year?
2011.
So is what you're telling me since 2011, since that one time, you did not make one payment on this ATV?
Yes, ma'am, that is correct.
And were the payments made by check, debit card, cash? Do you know how they were made?
I believe that my brother had a bank card that he made those payments from his bank card.
Did you ever make any payments from your bank card?
No, ma'am.
Did you ever make any payments in cash?
No, ma'am.
Where is the ATV now?
It's at my sister's house.
What's it doing there?
My brother-in-law was going to help my brother rebuild the engine because shortly after he had bought it, the engine had messed up in it.
Are you telling me that it hadn't been ridden since 2011?
Late 2011, maybe early going into 2012, because he didn't have it very long and it heated up and the engine burned up, which was something that Chad was aware of, but we wasn't.
That doesn't make sense to me at all, that your brother would continue to make payments on something for 2 years that he couldn't drive use.
He was trying to get the money together to get it fixed. He was wanting to stay good on making payments on the four-wheeler because it was still in Chad's name.
What was it doing still in your name?
Tim did not have the credit to put it in his name. Therefore, we kept the loan open in my name, the title and everything still in my name. He was making payments to the bank just from his card. Mm. He couldn't purchase it himself. So I already had it, already had payments going. He just started making payments. They took over possession.
How much is still doing owing on the bike?
$37.99.12.
Mm-hmm. Sell it.
Ma'am, I have pictures here of the bike where it has a blown engine. There's no way you can get that for it.
Listen to me.
Yes, ma'am.
Your action is premature. I'm not exactly quite sure what's going on here, but something doesn't smell good to me. So this is what I want you to do. Sell it. If you have to fix it to sell it, sell it. But I'm certainly not giving you the balance of this loan, because even if I say he became the guarantor for his brother, once his brother died, the debt died.
The bike didn't die.
Well, no, according to you, the bike died.
No, but the loan's still alive.
Name. The bike's in your name.
Yes, ma'am.
Sell it.
Yes, ma'am.
Good. Goodbye.
What about if I don't get it on?
Parties are excused when you step out.
And now, the next case.
All parties in the matter of Cummings versus Isle. Step forward.
Charles Cummings is suing his former friends, Leah and Morris Isle, for crashing his snowmobile into a tree. Morris claims the snowmobile was supercharged.
Mr. Cummings, it is your claim that Mr. Isle rode your snowmobile with your permission.
Yes, ma'am.
And crashed it.
Yes.
You want him to pay for the repairs. I don't know who you are. Who are you?
I'm his wife, Leah.
You weren't riding the snowmobile. You can sit down. Mr. Isle's defense seems to be that he didn't know at the time that he rode the snowmobile that you had made certain modifications to it that made it act in a way that other snowmobiles don't act, which is that it was souped up and went very fast.
That's not true.
Okay. Mr. Isle, let us start with things that we all agree on. The two of you were friends, and you were working with him on the snowmobile. He was doing some work on it, and you rode it with his permission.
Yes.
And you crashed it.
Yes.
Into a tree.
Yes.
And damaged it.
Correct.
And ordinarily, therefore, you would be responsible for the damage.
Yes.
And your defense is that Mr. Cummings didn't tell you that he had souped up the snowmobile.
That is correct.
That's your defense.
Yes.
Prove it.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
You really went into a tree.
Yeah, I have a picture of the tree, too.
I'd like to see a picture of the tree.
And later today.
She bought a car and she put it in her boyfriend's name so that they could drive around together. Do you have a driver's license?
No, I do not.
Shh. Now you can sit. You have no use here.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Charles Cummings is suing his former friend, Morris Isle, for crashing his snowmobile into a tree. Morris claims
The snowmobile was supercharged.
Now, that's your defense.
Yes.
Okay, prove it.
I hadn't rode a snowmobile in 20 years. I've worked on them in the past, and I had no idea it was so powerful. And he,
That's not true.
Just a second. If you hadn't ridden a snowmobile in 20 years, you don't know what modifications the snowmobile company has made in 20 years.
I didn't realize.
And what?
Well, no, he offered me to let me ride it, and I said, I don't know if I should. And he says, well, come on, ride
it. How old are you?
53.
How old is he?
25?
30.
So you don't want to ride it? You don't ride it. You're telling me that he twisted your arm to get on something that you hadn't been on in 20 years, and you think it's his fault? You're a big boy. Why did you sue her?
Because Morris has offered to pay me. She will not allow him to pay me.
I did not offer to pay him.
I don't care whether you offered or not. I'm going to order it.
Several times.
Do you have an estimate for the damage?
Yes, Your Honor.
Can I see it, please? If you break something, Mr. Isle, you have to fix it. If you break something, you have to fix it. How much did you pay for this?
$10,500.
Where?
At a Polaris dealer in Minnesota.
When?
December of 2012.
You have photographs of it?
Yes. I have several photographs.
You paid how much for it?
$10,500 plus tax and license. About $11,500. Yep.
Cost as much to fix it. You really went into a tree.
Yeah, I have a picture of the tree, too.
I'd like to see a picture of the tree.
Pretty impressive tree.
Oh. Yeah, that's a pretty impressive tree. Judgment for the plaintiff in the amount of $5,000, which is the court's maximum. Thank you.
Thank you.
Please excuse. You may step out.
And now, the next case.
All parties in the matter of Barron versus Cross. Step forward.
Shirley Barron and her daughter, Latasha, are suing Shirley's ex-boyfriend, Guy Cross, for the value of a car he stole from her.
Miss Barron, this is your mother?
Yes, it is, Miss Jigden.
What is your first name?
Shirley Barron.
And how long were you and Mr. Cross a couple?
Well, 4 or 5 years.
Did you live together?
No, I had my place. He was living somewhere else.
And actually, I don't know why you're here.
I'm here because I'm not my law power attorney, but I've been taking care of my mother ever since I could, maybe about 12, and I handle all her affairs because she
Well, you may have handled all her affairs, but the case is not very difficult. Your mother bought a car.
Yes.
Don't speak. Your mother bought a car. With her own money, correct?
Yes, I did.
And you put the car in your boyfriend's name, right?
Yes, I did.
And you had been together as boyfriend and girlfriend for about 4 or 5 years?
Yes.
Did you travel together?
Yes.
Where did you travel together?
Like, yeah, a little truck drive. I would go on the long trucks with him, you know, place like that, and that's it.
Did you go out for dinner?
Yes, we did.
Did you go to movies?
Not like that. No, not too many movies.
Did you have any friends together?
Well, I have my...
I'm not speaking to you.
Sorry, Miss Jess Judy.
Did you have friends together?
Yeah, I had my friend. He met him and stuff.
And did you ever socialize together with both
friends.
Your friends?
Yes, I have.
All right. And then after you bought the car and you put it in his name, you broke up. Is that what happened?
No, we didn't break up. We were still together. But
yes.
It was just a day that he flipped out on me because he couldn't drive the car at all. You know, it was my car. I want someone to drive it.
Well, it's not your car if it's in his name. It's his car.
Legally, it may be his car, but
that's what courts are here for.
Okay,
Miss Barron.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
How did it get to be put in his name?
Because they had a conversation prior about me being controlling, and
correct.
I'm always in her business, and I've only always tried to help my mother.
Miss Barron.
I'm sorry.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Shirley Barron says her ex-boyfriend Guy Cross owes for the return of a car he stole from her. Guy claims the vehicle was a gift from Shirley while they were together.
Now, Mr. Cross says the car was a gift by his girlfriend. That's why it's in his name. They were together a long time. She got a big settlement as a result of her son passing away. She got over $30,000. And one of the things that she did was she bought a car for $1,800, and she put it in her boyfriend's name so that they could drive around together. Do you have a driver's license?
No, I do not.
I'm sorry. Now you can sit.
I apologize.
You have no use here. No. You don't have a power of attorney. You have no legal standing here. She seems perfectly capable of telling me her story.
Okay, Ms. Judge Judy, it's fine.
After you bought the car and put it in his name, did he drive you any place in the car?
Yeah, we went one time. One time we went somewhere.
How many times did you go out?
We went more than one time.
Okay. Before you bought the car and put it in his name, how did you used to get around?
Walk.
You walked?
Yes, I walked the store everywhere.
You don't have a driver's license.
No, I do not, ma'am.
Do you?
Yes, and I had a car before that. When my car broke down, that's when...
What kind of a car did you have?
I had a 94 Thunderbird.
Miss Barron, do you ever remember riding in his car?
Yes, I do.
He had a car?
Yes, he had a car.
It was an old car?
Yes, it was.
And when you and Mr. Cross went out together, he drove...
Yes, he drove
his car.
His car.
And then his car...
Broke down.
Broke down.
Mm-hmm.
And is that when you bought the new car?
No, I didn't buy it right after that.
How much afterwards was the new car purchased or the old new car purchased?
It was 8.5 months after my car went down that she bought the Focus.
8 months. And did you have the car for all of the 4 or 5 years that you were a couple?
Yeah, I had that, and I had a 90 Jeep Cherokee.
Mm-hmm. Can I please say something, Judge?
Not a thing. It's his car. I know that you don't like it that it's his car, but it's his car. Your mother bought the car. She had driven with him for many, many years in his old cars. His old cars died. She had a couple of extra $1,000, and she bought a car that they were going to use together, just like they had driven together for 4 years before. Now, when he drove you in his cars before, in the Cherokee and in the 1990 car, did you put gas in the car? Or did he put gas in the car?
Yeah, sometimes I would give him gas money if he didn't have it.
If he didn't have it, but otherwise he put gas money in his own car?
Yes, he did.
When you went out?
Yes.
Okay. Now you can stand up and tell me whatever you want to tell me, and then I'm ready to go, because okay. It's almost lunchtime.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. Have you been cheated? Go to judgejudy.com. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
You have limited amount of time.
Okay, my mother woke up May 21st and said, I'm so tired of walking. Tasha, you think we can get a car? I said, yeah. So I just hopped up and put on my hat and some jeans and I ran over to her house. She said Guy knew where a car was for $600. I said, I don't think it's going to be reliable enough for you.
She bought a car. Let's go.
Okay, and then
she bought a car. She used her money.
Yes.
And? How did it get to be put in his name?
Because they had a conversation prior.
Who had a conversation?
Them two about me being controlling and
correct.
That I'm always in her business. And mm-hmm. I've only always tried to help my mother.
Miss Barron, it's his car. It's his car.
And so when we got there, Mom said, no, you're not doing it. We're going to put it in this guy's name. And so I
stepped
back.
We're going to put it in his name and it's his car.
He want him to drive.
It's his car. Right.
But if it's his car, how come he never had the keys?
He never had the keys.
Just a second. He has the car. It's his car. Stop interfering with that business. It didn't bother you for years when he took your mother out in his old cars. He did, in fact, take her out, whether you like to acknowledge it or not, in his old cars. Mm-hmm. They went out for dinner. They did a little traveling. They traveled in his car. Yes, because your mother doesn't have a driver's license. Then your mother came into some money. Yeah. They had a conversation. Whatever pillow talk it was, and your mother says, the car is going in his name. Now, do you have a car?
Yes, ma'am.
You do? You have a car?
Yes.
What are you going to do with this old car that your mother paid $1,800 for? What are you going to do with it?
We don't no longer want it because he came over and broke the collar ignition. We just want the money
that's
back.
That's fine. Maybe so if you don't want it, you're not going to get any money. Goodbye. Thank you. It's his car.
Bodies are excused. You may step out.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. And on the next Judge Judy.
Why would you let him stay without paying you rent?
Is there more than meets the eye?
At one point, you moved out, and then you moved back in. I'm hearing a lot of stuff here that's on the shady side.
Judge Judy.
She bought her a car when her son passed. Fine and dandy.
I'd like to say, please rest in peace, Clifford, and don't worry about the situation because mother will get a new car.
As soon as she buy me something, anything beside the car, she throws a fit.
He manipulated her in so many different ways. And
she's a spoiled little brat, don't get her way. She throws a fit and her mom caves in.
They said by law it was his car, so it was nothing that I could do and take it to small claims court.
She made the right decision. It's my name. She bought it as a gift.
Then it's okay. Sometimes you win and sometimes you lose, right?
Her daughter don't know how to mind her own business. That's why we're here.
So thank you, Ms. Judge Judy.